5. We're going through 1 Samuel here, and we're in this section where David has been anointed as king, and yet he's on the run from Saul. He is in the wilderness, and we saw in chapter 24 how the Lord orchestrated Saul to come to the cave where David and his men were hiding. And David had this really tempting opportunity to get rid of Saul. And the Lord protected him from doing what he shouldn't do. And Saul could see that later. There was kind of a temporary peace here. And then we come to chapter 25, and we're told of a significant event, the death of Samuel in verse 1. And all Israel is mourning for him, as they should have. He was a great man. And then the majority of chapter 25 is about another incident in David's life where he deals with kind of a different sort of temptation. David is on the run there in the wilderness. You typically think of just being on the run from Saul, his enemy. Saul's trying to kill him. But actually, we see there was another type of temptation that came to David here in 1 Samuel 25. And that's kind of like how it is with us. You know, we face temptations, and they're sometimes of different kinds. They're not all the same. And this is a different one. And this is the story of Nabal and his wife, Abigail. And we begin here with the trouble that is that comes to David. And so I'll read, I won't read the whole chapter here, but I'll read a portion here. 1 Samuel 25, beginning in verse 1. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him, and buried him in his house at Ramah. David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, Get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, Peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now the shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them, all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. David said unto his men, Gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. And they were a wall unto us, both by night and day, all the while we were with them, keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. So we're told about this trouble with Nabal that David has. We have an introduction to Nabal and Abigail. Nabal is a very rich farmer. He has a good and beautiful wife, Abigail. How did they get together? Don't know. Maybe it was an arranged marriage. There were arranged marriages back then. Nabal's a wealthy man. Abigail, is beautiful. Maybe parents, hey, just get together. Here's this wealthy man. I don't know. But Nabal is a bad character. His name means fool. Probably his parents didn't give him that name. Why would you do that as a parent? I don't know. Let's call him fool, right? Maybe it's a name that he took himself sort of to be cantankerous. I don't know. Think about some of the rappers today and the names they call themselves and things like that. And maybe he just chose his name. Yeah, I'm going to call myself fool. And that's really funny. Maybe it was like that. But David requests help from Nabal. Now, you have to remember that David has 600 men, and he is out roaming the wilderness, and he's got to provide for these 600 men. Now, that's no small undertaking to be able to do that. And it seems that what David did sometimes was try to build relationships with some wealthy farmers in hopes that he could get some food to feed his men. We see a little bit of that as we read this chapter. There was some protection that David and his men gave to Nabal's servants at critical times to ward off thieves and things like that. And they come, and having done that, David comes and asks, "Would you give me some help for my men?" David is reminding him about that. He's not asking him for a royal feast. He says in verse 8, whatever you have on hand, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. And so it's just, what do you have on hand? And you also just ask him for, just bread and water, I think, he's asking him for. It's a logical thing for him to do. This man has plenty to spare. It was a good time. It was a sheep shearing time. That's a time like a harvest time. When the sheep are shorn, that's a good time. It's good to go in and get the harvest. That means, there's an increase now in the resources. And so David is choosing his time here well. And remember that David was not in need because of any sin or fault on his part. David is a man who is trying to go about helping his fellow man, his fellow Israelites. And in past chapters, we've read about how he goes and helps these cities of Judah that are under attack from the Philistines. He's trying to help them. He is serving his country. And so, it's not a big problem to go and to ask, hey, could you give bread and water to my men and help them with some food? But then we see how Nabal responds to this request. He says in verse 10, who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? Why should I give my stuff, my food and my water, for my servants to this guy? I don't know who he is or where he's from. Why should I do that? So Nabal is refusing to help David. He doesn't want to give him any provisions to help, even the most basic things. His bread and water. Shall I then take my bread, my water, my flesh that I have killed for my shearers to give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? As we see Nabal, here's a guy that we don't want to be like, all right? And we see that he was a man who was unwilling to share. And, hopefully that's not how we are. We shouldn't be like this, okay? We need to share. And that's something we often tell our children, share what you have. But even as adults, we need to have a willingness to share, a willingness to give some of our resources. And there's people that are probably a lot like Nabal today. When they're asked to give their time, their resources, they have excuses. Why? Is it because they're covetous and can't bear to part with their stuff that they love so much? Is it because they're too busy helping some other project or person? Maybe. But, you know, all of us, no matter how old we are, we need to be generous with what God has given to us. We, you know, the fact of the matter is, it's all God's anyway, and He gives it to us to steward, to manage it, and we should be willing to share what we have. That's not like Nabal. And then we see David reacting to that. Verses 12 and 13, basically he says, you know, get your swords on, men, buckle your swords on. Why is he doing that? He's ready to go to war against Nabal. You know, get your weapons on. He's going to take it out on Nabal and his men. And then there's this report to Abigail about what happened. The servant tells her Nabal railed on David or insulted him. The servant tells her David was good to them. The servant reminds her that Nabal is a son of Belial. The word means worthlessness. He's a son of worthlessness. New Testament, Belial refers to Satan, 2 Corinthians 6. And so, you know, the servant just reminds Abigail, this is what he's doing. He's doing what we know that he does. And so once again, I hope that we look at Nabal here and we make sure that we don't see ourselves in this chapter. All right. But we should check. And there may be some people who are like Nabal and they don't realize it. All right. And they should just look at this and see, are they being Nabalish? Okay. And maybe other people do see it. And, you know, it's like this servant. It's like, comes to Abigail. Nabal is being Nabal again. Yeah, he is. Okay. Be careful that we don't act like Nabal. And then the heart of the chapter here is this appeal from Abigail. And we see Abigail comes to David and she appeals to him in two ways. First, she gives him a present. And then she makes a speech to him. We see her present in verse 18. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves, and 2 bottles of wine, and 5 sheep ready dressed, and 5 measures of parched corn, and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. She said unto her servants, go on before me, and behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. So this is quite a present here. Large gift, 200 loaves, 2 bottles of wine, 5 sheep ready dressed, 5 measures of roasted wheat or barley, 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs. This is quite a gift. This is no small courtesy gift here. This would have taken quite a bit of work to get together and to bring to David. Very generous, great contrast to her stingy husband. Meanwhile, verses 21 and 22, David is making plans to kill all the men under Nabal's employment. He can't believe that he would be treated like he's been treated. And then we come to Abigail's speech in verse 23. When Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience, and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies, and they that seek evil to my Lord, be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house. Because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. Here we see Abigail's speech here to David. She's very wise. She intercedes for her husband. He's her husband. She also acknowledges that he is a fool at the same time. She believes God's promises to David. Somehow she knew what God had promised to David. How that God had promised to make him king. She believed that that would happen. And I think what stands out, to me anyway, most about her speech is how she gently warns David about needless bloodshed. Verse 26, "Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand." And then look at verse 31 again. This is what she wants for him. "That this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord." What's she talking about? She's talking about what David is about to do. David is about to go and take out all of Nabal's men. Just kill them. And Abigail is coming and just suggesting here that if David were to do that, and he becomes king, his conscience is going to bother him. This is going to be an offensive heart to David if he goes through with this. "But this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offensive heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself." That's exactly what David was going to do. This guy, Nabal, this foolish man, he rails on people. David responded just like anyone would respond to somebody like that. He would strap on his weapons and, "How can I, avenge myself?" But Abigail just gently warns David about doing that. That's a reminder for us as well. As we see this warning, maybe there would be somebody that's kind of like Abigail or even scriptures themselves. We need to just think before we do things. I know it's hard sometimes, but we ought to think, how are we going to feel after we do that thing? There's something that just seems like the right thing to do. And maybe it's in response to somebody like Nabal. And, okay, before we do that, how are we going to feel after we do that? Is our conscience going to bother us for a while if we do that? We should think about that. Will we have any regret? And then we also need to just look at Abigail here. And here is a woman that I think all women should look at and just consider. She was married to a fool. She could have had excuse for giving up. But we see that she acted so wisely here. She was standing up for a difficult husband and also appealing to David and helping him. Such a balance there. And, I'm certain that there's women today who could learn a lot from Abigail if they will come to this passage and just look at what she does and the words that she says and just consider, how should I act in my life? If women would do that today, I think that would be a great help. She didn't give up. She looked for a way forward. She considered what she could do. And we see ultimately God blessed her for what she did. And then David's response here, verse 32. "David said to Abigail, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. That's what I was trying to avoid saying, but I read it. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. So David responds, and he listens to her and believes God has protected him from sin. That's exactly what happened. And then we see deliverance from the Lord. What happens to Nabal? Verse 36. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing less or more until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after, that the Lord smote Nabal, and he died. So Nabal dies. He's partying. He's drunk. Then in the morning, Abigail does tell Nabal what had happened. His heart turns to stone. It seems that he had a heart attack or a stroke or something. He wasn't dead yet. Then 10 days later, the Lord smites him, and he dies. The Lord dealt with him. And then David praises the Lord here, verse 39. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife. And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, Behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. And Abigail hasted and arose, and rode upon an ass with 5 damsels of hers, and went after her. And she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. But David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they were also both of them his wives. But Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Phalti, the son of Laish, which was of Galim. We do see about how David took her as his wife, Abigail, along with some other wives. You know, David, yes, he did engage in polygamy. And that was something he got caught up in, which was a practice of his day. And that was not good. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us in Matthew 19 that God created marriage to be one man and one woman. All right, and he goes back to that. And marriage got corrupted in this period of time. And it's being corrupted today as well. And so, David, the scripture is honest about that. But David does realize what happened here. God took care of this enemy. Abigail came and through these words, she warned him, and David listened. And David saw that through listening to that wise advice and letting the Lord take care of it, David got to see how the Lord did take care of this situation. You know, how different it would have been if David would have gone through and, went through with strapping on his weapons and taking out all the men. He would have had some pangs of conscience, most certainly. But we see how God protected him from sin, from great sin in this situation. And so as we look at this chapter, we need to be careful about responding in the flesh to the Nabals in your life. Do you have any Nabals in your life? Be careful. Be careful. You may have some little Nabals. All right. You may have some adult Nabals as well. And we see how glad that David was that God protected him from acting in a way that would have been fleshly towards Nabal. So we need to be careful. We need to trust God to take care of situations like these that we might be in. Stop. Just stop. Don't act. Stop. Pray. Listen to other people who are trying to help you. People like Abigail. And then we also need to praise God for protecting us from sin. Maybe there's some situation in your life where you look and you see, boy, I really could have messed that up. But praise God, the Lord protected me. And it could have been so different if I had responded in my flesh. But praise God, the Lord kept me from that. You know, we see how God protected David from physical danger, from Saul. But this chapter shows us how God protected him from sin. He protected him from responding in a way that would be taking vengeance for himself and not leaving that to God. And so we need to praise God for protecting us from sin. There's many different kinds of temptation and trouble. We never know what we're going to face next sometimes, but God can deliver us. He may send another person to help us and make us think before we act. And when He does, we need to praise God for His ways of delivering His people. And we need to pray for the protection that we need today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word and how You work through David. And we know that we're often tempted in ways that we're not expecting. So we come here tonight. We just come before You and we ask that You would guard our responses to people. Perhaps there are some who are like Nabal in our lives. We pray that You would help us to act wisely towards them. And we thank You for this example of Abigail. We pray that the women here would pay attention to her and try to imitate her character. And we thank You for this example. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to number 17 as we close. We'll sing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Number 17, let's all stand as we sing.
Number 17.